It's Tuesday evening. The rankings are out. The Ohio State Buckeyes did fall in the poll because they got blown out over the weekend. How far did they fall? And then my guy Jeff Hunt's with me once again. Him and I are going to go through and talk about this defense and try to pinpoint the problem with what we have seen, not just this year, but a sequence of seasons back to back to back. All that and more in this fun live episode with my guy Jeff Hunt from the Off the Ball Network on today's episode of Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to an episode of Locked On Buckeyes, the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. We are live on this Tuesday evening on YouTube and Twitter, and my guy Jeff Hunt from the Off the Ball Network is with us once again to break down the rankings and also dive into the Buckeye defense. Jeff Hunt, it's a Tuesday evening. How you doing, man?
Not bad, Jay. It's been a tough weekend, as we know. Buckeye Nation knows. Usually takes me about 24 hours to digest a tough game. I'm not gonna lie, it was more like 48. But as of Tuesday night, I'm excited to be back on here. I got some energy, you know, pumping back through the blood, looking at the playoff scenarios and stuff. So I think I've turned the corner and I'm ready to go, man.
You know, you have the energy. You are feeling well. You can tell by the sound of my voice. Jay has been under the weather, a little head cold, and it's been lingering a little bit too long. I thought it was because of the loss to the Wolverines. I'll blame Michigan for this one because, baby, this ain't fun. Just like what we watched over the weekend, that wasn't fun either. What also was, it wasn't fun, but it was also kind of expected seeing the Buckeyes fall in the poll, Jeff. Number 7 in the current CFP poll. I'm not really too surprised. I mean, you get smacked. What we could, like I said, I could talk a week about what I saw over the weekend. Ohio State got beat down. I related to watching Friday. You seen the movie Friday, right?
Oh yeah.
You know Debo and his whole behavior. No, yeah. That's kind of how I view what we watched over the weekend. Michigan was Debo. Ohio State had no answer. We saw some scuffles. Oh, you're gonna flip people off in the locker room, but on the field, there was really no fight. There was no like toughness there. Number 7. I'm gonna get off the train of talking about the Buckeyes. I could be on that all day. Number 7, Jeff, in this ranking, right before the conference championship games are played, I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not surprised, and I mean it's right where they should be.
Yeah, I agree. Here's what's funny about this. If you would have told me at the end of the Oregon game in September, and you told me that at this point in the season they'd be number 7, I'd go, that sounds about right. You know, we'll shoot for that. And then this week it sounds like a complete, you know, kick in the gut. But if anything, the committee has said again, we love Ohio State. Like the committee is rooting. No Ohio State fan can make up any excuses, can say anything about the committee. They have been rooting for them the entire time that these have come out. And they still, and I've even wrote this down, left some miracle possibility that Ohio State makes the playoffs. Do I think it's going to happen? No. Will it happen? No. But they still, the inkling that it can happen by only dropping them to 7, and I know you got some thoughts on, you know, possibilities, but it's just funny how much they love this team. And, of course, you know, we got to remember they're also choosing the New Year's Six Bowls, and then you also start factoring the money in and the viewers in. I honestly also think that Ohio State's earned that too, because I don't think that Ohio State's loss Saturday to Michigan was really that much worse than what, you know, Alabama did to, say, Florida, like looking back with that 2-point win. You know, I'm not saying Alabama doesn't deserve credit for the win, but when we really look at the whole season, Jay, you know, we look at that, you know, some of these other games, and I think the committee did that, and they really didn't punish Ohio State for, you know, the appearance of that loss as much as they could have. So it's very interesting. It's the classic dumb and dumber line. So you're saying there's a chance.
Jeff, you remember a few weeks ago when the committee was saying that Oregon, Ohio State, they put Oregon above Ohio State due to the head-to-head matchup in week 2, September 11th. I timestamped that because that was a long time ago. Recording this on November the 30th, live on November the 30th as well. and Oregon's number 10, Ohio State's number 7. So what you're meaning to tell me was you knew Ohio State was a better team all along. You simply used that matchup to put the Oregon Ducks above the Buckeyes.
Yeah, you're right. We've called it out for what 4 or 5 weeks now that they were doing this. This committee set up these scenarios, and now when we look at it, just like you said, you're not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. They have gotten off so easy with all this. They've got the ratings they wanted. They've got the hype they wanted. But now they've got everything did take care of itself that they said was going to happen. And yes, that's exactly what they're saying. They're like, oh, we really didn't mean that. Or we really didn't mean this. And when I look down the list, I'm like, wow, it turned out best case scenario for everybody. The only thing that's going to be crazy is I keep looking at it. Number 2 can lose. Number 3 can lose. Number 4 can lose. Number 5 can lose all Saturday. Like, that's amazing that we've never had that before. So there's still a lot of intrigue going into championship weekend. I've got some thoughts on the bottom, you know, of the 25 that we'll get to here in a minute. But the committee really was playing chess this whole time, and we didn't realize it.
Not at all. We'll go 10 through 1 very quickly on these rankings. I've got them right here next to me, and you'll see kind of how the committee is thinking. Jeff will give his comments, and then we'll go a little we'll go to the games this weekend, because there are some implications about some things going on the field, things going on off the field that might affect the Buckeyes. Jeff's laughing because we talked about this off air. Hang on, guys. It might be beneficial to the Buckeyes. Number 10, the Oregon Ducks. Number 9, Baylor. Number 8, Ole Miss. 10-2, Lane Kiffin. I like it. He's done some good things down there. Number 7, Ohio State. 6, Notre Dame. Just lost their coach literally, overnight. He sent a breakup text. Hey, y'all, I'm gone. Like, wait. You sent me a breakup text, and I'm 18, I'm 19. You recruited me. You've been here the entire time. Last game of the season, we beat Stanford. But we can still go to the playoff. No, y'all, I'm going down south, going down there to the Bayou. They got better food.
Gave him a new phone. Who dis?
Number 5, Oklahoma State. Number 4, Cincinnati. They are still undefeated, 12-0. They have the conference championship game this weekend. We'll talk about that here in a second. Number 3, Alabama. Not sure how they're still number 3. Number 2, Michigan. That one stings. And then at number 1, the Georgia Bulldogs. We all expected. Jeff, what sticks out to you in the top 10?
A couple that stuck out, Michigan, I think, deserved it. By the way, the committee has done it. They deserve to be number 2. And if you're going to – and this is what I've said the whole time, and I had some pretty severe arguments over the weekend about this, but if you're going to beat Ohio State like they did, and I believe Ohio State's as good as they are, then Michigan deserves number 2. I have no problem with that. The one I love is Oklahoma State. I've kind of adopted the other OSU team.
Yeah.
I think they've earned it. I had them in my personal rankings up there all season. You know, I saw how they were playing. I saw the defense, and I saw the path. I love Oklahoma State having a shot at number 5. I'm glad they did that. Ole Miss making it to number 8, they consider that a successful season. They've topped out. There's no way they can jump any of the teams ahead of them. They're not in the miracle scenario. I think that stops at Ohio State. I like Baylor being at 9. I kind of wish they were a little higher, because I think they played good enough to deserve that leap, mm-hmm. that you know, like Ohio State did, you know, in 14. I don't know if they can do it now, but I do like the Baylor team. Oregon at 10 is fair. That's going to be a great game with Utah. But I love the Oklahoma State win, you know, and have a really good chance of getting in. Cincinnati, I think, is – any kind of win. I don't think they can – I think unless it – they'd have to look really bad to drop out of this 4 spot, because we know that either, you know, Georgia or Bama are going to lose. Michigan obviously is winning the end. But it's really interesting. The Notre Dame Ohio State situation is interesting. With Brian Kelly leaving last night, does the committee really actually in their mind have Ohio State at 6? That's what I want to know, and I know you're going to touch on that.
All right, college football fanatics, have you heard about Prize Picks? Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. I love this, and I know you will too. Prize Picks offers every sport you could think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. Prize Picks offers more college football props than anyone in the world, and offers all the star players of the Power 5, as well as mid-major players as well. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. And it's just you versus the projected numbers. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your App Store and download the app today. PrizePicks is daily fantasy made easy. You set it up so well. I was going to wait a little bit to do that, but when Jeff gives me the soft toss, I got to go ahead and knock that thing out. And so, guys, on the committee, Gary Barda, the guy that does all the interviews with Reese Davis every single Tuesday, I wish they would get somebody else to speak, because sometimes I get annoyed with, like, I don't get annoyed with him. It's just the vanilla responses that he gives every week because he has to. He is the voice. He is not the decision maker. He is simply the voice. And so Mr. Gary Barda, I'm going to go to my phone here very quickly. I think I took a screenshot of this. Yes, Pat Murphy from 247 Sports, Bucknuts.com. He ended up tweeting this out. Now, I heard it in real time. Many of you heard it in real time. And I am shocked. You may be shocked. This makes no sense to me. But this is the human element, which I don't like with this committee. And so Pat Murphy puts out here, the College Football Selection Committee Chairman Gary Barda said the coaching changes didn't apply to this week. So the rankings we just heard about, Lincoln Riley gone out from Oklahoma. You got Brian Kelly gone, possibility of Luke Fickell. Notre Dame wants Luke Fickell, number one target. Okay, great. None of that stuff factored into this week alone. But next week, which is Sunday, the committee can consider a player or coach not being involved. That, to me, is very, very dumb. I'm a former football player, Jeff. I don't know if you played sports back in school or not. But if you're going to tell me that we played in college football 12 games, I'm a Notre Dame Fighting Irish football player, my coach leaves overnight, sends me a breakup text, and all of a sudden goes down to the Bayou, and he's introducing himself down to the LSU football players. Great. LSU had to do something quickly because they're going to lose a lot of really good football players if they don't get a new coach in that can rally the troops. Okay, great. Do what you got to do. But if you're going to tell me that we played 12 games, only lost one, we improved throughout the season. The Buckeyes improved. Notre Dame improved throughout the entire season. All of a sudden, because our coach is not here and because of the uncertainty surrounding our coaching situation, you may put us outside of the top four because of this. There are teams above us that are going to be playing in the conference championship games. We're an independent. We don't do that. Okay, great. Whatever it is, I don't care about the whole schedule situation. Notre Dame, to me, is one of the best teams in college football. Top four, top five, top six, that's for you subjectively to say. But I think they are one of the best teams in college football. I think Brian Kelly is one of the best coaches. He's gone. It's, to me, Jeff, it's wrong to punish these kids, not truly kids, but, you know, 18 to 22-year-olds, to punish the kids because the coach says, they're giving me the bag, I'm taking the bag and leaving y'all back here to dry. To me, that's dead wrong. I'm a proponent of the BCS. I know I got a bad voice, but I don't care right now. I prefer the BCS because the BCS would not put this nonsense, this mess out there saying we're going to use the human element to possibly punish these kids that are the ones that are on the field playing. One thing quickly, Bob Stoops is the interim head coach at Oklahoma. He made a comment. He said, I'm going to get to the Hall of Fame because of the players. Not because of Switzer, not because of anything else, not because of the place where I'm at, because of the players. But the committee says, that coach is gone. Forget those players. Bro, you can tell how annoyed I am. That's wrong to me.
It is wrong. And here's the thing. Again, we found this committee disingenuous this entire time. They're playing games. I don't really even think he means it, but I think what he did by that, and I'll just call it what it is. If he made, you know how big the Ohio State fan base is.
Yeah,
if he made even 10% of them pay more attention to the games on TV Saturday, look at the eyeballs, look at the money, look at the interest. I really think that's what that was all about. I don't honestly think that they could, unless the Notre Dame, the entire coaching staff just vanished, you know, before next Sunday. I don't think that they would actually do it, but for to even dangle it out there, even to say it out loud, just, you know, I don't understand the advantage of it. That should have been something, if you really do think, because I do think you have to look at it. Like, if the entire coaching staff vacates this week, and it does come down to this decision, you do have to factor that in. There's no reason to say that out loud on TV. When the, like you said, the players, the guys that are there can't do anything about it. They can't play anybody else this week to prove it. Any of that stuff. to dangle that carrot out there, it's not fair to anybody. And that's what I don't like about it. Don't tell me week one, like, you know, we're trying to get the best four teams. And then you come out on November 30th and say, well, here's these outlined, you know, intangibles that we're going to factor in. That's not cool. That really isn't. It did bother me, and I don't think it's true. I really don't. I think Notre Dame, you know, would get in, but the fact that it would even be in the air is disturbing. You know, you've been beating this drum since day one, man, about we need to get back to taking this human element out of it. And this is number one factor. Again, do I think it's going to happen? No. Do I think they're going to get off easy? I do, because I think that, you know, Georgia's going to win. I think Michigan's going to win. I think Cincinnati's going to win. I don't think it's going to be an issue. But Oklahoma State could easily lose. We know Bama is probably going to lose. So they're going to have to make that decision on Notre Dame. So it's weird. So then I'll just play the other side of it, because, you know, obviously you have a ton of Ohio State fans listening to you right now on this Wednesday. So if I'm an Ohio State fan, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. So you're telling me that we, you know, we rallied, we kept our coaching staff together, you know, so on and so forth, but they still get to go in. And I can't even imagine what's going to happen if Notre Dame, like, let's say, let's just project forward the scenario Notre Dame gets in and they get smashed by Georgia. Then you've created this other controversy to where, like, if I'm an Ohio State fan, I'm like, well, wait a minute, we had our stuff together, you know, blah, 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 blah. We lost to the number two team in the nation, so on and so forth. So they really, the rankings and the words really created an unnecessary turmoil, but that brings eyeballs to the TVs. That brings eyeballs to, you know, let's remember, ESPN not only owns the rights to the games, but the week up to the games, or the 3 weeks up to the games, you know, when you got all the daily shows, you got the podcast, you got the ESPN radio shows, like, you know, if you can get the Notre Dame or Ohio State ears and eyeballs on that, it's massive, the crowd. So I really think that it all really still boiled down to, like, it's just marketing. Does that make sense? Like, it's really, I think what we've uncovered through all this is the committee is really just a big marketing team for ESPN college football.
BetOnline has you covered all season for more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As football season continues the march to the playoffs, BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and it's all one word to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. If you haven't tried a Built Bar by now, you are missing out. They say it's a protein bar, but it does not taste like one. You have to try one of these amazing bars to believe it. Most protein bars are chalky or waxy or just plain hard to choke down. A Built Bar is soft, covered in 100% real chocolate, and when you bite into it, you know you're eating something different. It's more of an experience, one that you'll enjoy. In fact, you'd swear you're eating a candy bar. Built Bars are low calorie, low carb, low fat, low sugar, and high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. Another great thing about Built Bar, there are so many mouth-watering flavors, including coconut and raspberry and mint brownie, coconut almond, salted caramel, double chocolate, and even cherry barcia. This month, Built Bar is coming out with new limited time flavors every 3 to 4 days. So check their website often. You don't want to miss out. Go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15, and it's all one word, and you will get 15% off your next order. Once again, go to built.com and use that friendly promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off at built.com. a marketing team that's doing a pretty good job of what they're supposed to be doing, making money. I mean, we're in the business of making money, and so that's part of what they're doing. It does directly affect Ohio State or Impact because Notre Dame 6, Ohio State 7. I also think Alabama loses. That drops Alabama out of the top four. Theoretically, Cincinnati moves up. Oklahoma State, I think they're going to win that. They move up. So that's two spots there. Michigan, I think Michigan's going to win. But if they lose, and if Oklahoma State loses, that's two teams. That's a number five team, a number two team, and a number three team. Two, three, and five that are going to be out.
Yeah.
Theoretically, you would think that Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Ole Miss move up. Ole Miss still would not be in. But the committee is now saying Notre Dame might not even move up. So there is a possibility. There is. And I'm so weird. I know, Jeff, you're Forex Mansion. I'm not. We've talked about that numerous times. I'm still weird about trying to wrap my head around the eventual possibility of a two-loss team winning a national championship in college football. I don't think this is the year. I think Georgia's still going to win it. But having a two-loss team in the playoff, that's weird to think about.
And here's something, you know, I want to bring up, too, for Ohio State fans. I'm just throwing this out there, being the devil's advocate. Ohio State lost last weekend as number two and dropped to seven. So what the committee said is, if Michigan loses to a worse team, we lost to Michigan. I think they were five at the time. If Michigan loses to a worse team Saturday, I'm only saying this because this is a weird scenario, then they have to drop them to seven. They have to drop them the same five spots.
Yeah.
So now you bring in Notre Dame, OSU, Oklahoma State, let's say Baylor. You've brought so much into it because you've said this is how far you drop, with a loss to a good team if you're number two. So now they've brought that into it. So I think they were kind of had to leave Ohio State at seven because they're like, if we drop them any lower, then what do we do if Michigan loses? There's so many things that they've brought into this. And then all of a sudden you're going to have like, well, we can't have Ohio State jump Michigan. Well, they were ahead of them last week. Like, it's just the factor. It's just endless. It's this is really probably the most meaningful set of championship games on the final Saturday of college football that we've ever had.
Jeff, I'm listening to Gary Barr to make that statement. And the only thing that comes to my head is, so you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. And why not? Why not? It's cruel to do to us, but, it is what it is. But I'm also not going to throw away the season and act like we, don't have a good team either. I've said that time and time again. Like, that was a tough loss. They looked a certain way. But I don't think 99% of the teams in college football aren't lining up to play Ohio State this weekend either. So there's both sides to that. They weren't exposed. They got beat soundly. But when Ohio State did to Clemson last year, I don't think anybody thought Clemson should, full chip, fire Dabo and restart. I mean, things happen.
Correct. Going to run down the whole list of games for this weekend so everyone knows what games to watch and not saying who to root for, but just games to watch and things like that this upcoming weekend that'll be of interest to you. And then there's a little one going on Saturday evening that there's a little comedy added to that one too. Friday night, the Pac-12 championship, Oregon number 10 faces Utah number 17, or Utah. They kind of debowed Oregon the last time they played them too. I'm looking forward to that game. That's at 8 o'clock on Friday night on ABC. Saturday, Big 12 championship, number 9, Baylor versus number 5, Oklahoma State at 12 on ABC. SEC championship, Georgia versus Alabama, 4 o'clock on CBS on Saturday. American championship, American Athletic Conference championship, 21 Houston versus number 4, Cincinnati, 4 o'clock on ABC. Big 10 championship, a lot of you, I've been told, possibly are holding your tickets and hotel rooms so the Wolverines fans can't go. Hey, I'm not telling you what to do, but every time I hear this, I smile and I laugh. The Wolverines face the Hawkeyes, Big 10 championship game on Fox, 8 o'clock Eastern on Saturday evening. Watch the game. Trust me, it'll be that. It's either that or you're watching the ACC championship. I want to watch a better football game, Pitt versus Wake Forest. We'll be good, 15 versus 16. But I do want to watch that game there on Fox. The comedy here, Jeff, we're not done, guys. I want to get to some Ohio State defensive stuff here in a second. Me and Jeff go long. So we all know about this whole little coaching carousel thing. Brian Kelly left Notre Dame, breakup text, now down to LSU. Lincoln Riley got a phone call early Sunday morning. Hadn't had a conversation with USC ever. lost the game on Saturday night, got a phone call, bro. Next thing I know, he's on a plane in LA. He's on Cal Hurst show. He did an exclusive interview with Joe Klatt. This man is just, he's quickly saying, hey, sorry, y'all. Caleb Williams, if you want to come, Spencer Rattler, if you want to come, hey, you can come with me, but I'm leaving y'all. And Oklahoma's not a bad football team. Let's just get this right. Oklahoma's not bad. Where are they at currently? I didn't talk about it. Oklahoma is number 14. They're 14-10-2. They're not a bad football team. But SoCal, when it comes calling, when you're saying you're going to give me a $1 million bonus by paying more money for these houses that I own in Norman, so be it. I say all that to say this. USC has a football game. Yes, one more football game on Saturday night. USC versus the Cal Bears. Cal Bears are home. I have not heard definitively. I've not even seen this on Twitter. Just popped in my head when I saw Jeff Hunt on my computer screen. Are they going to let Lincoln Riley coach that game? That would be a lot of buzz. You talk about eyeballs and ratings, bro. You want to tell me Lincoln Riley is going to come in and coach right away after losing to Oklahoma State? In Bedlam, and he's like, oh, well, Norman, Oklahoma, great. SoCal's a whole lot better. I'm coaching right away. I think it'd be a great move for Mike Bone to do that. It's a great move for I think the game's on FS1, so Fox to do that because Fox is going to get money, Pac-12 money. Coaching carousel is crazy. I never thought we would see a coach lose to his rival, coach for another school the very next week. That's one of the best jobs in college football.
Yeah, no, it's insane. It's a crazy story, that whole the Lincoln Riley situation. You know, my take on it is, like, I'll just put it out there. You know, I always feel for the kids and the player, that. I really do. But then I'm also like, you know, you look at down in Florida, they're also, you know, colleges are like, you know, what have you done for me lately? And fired in the middle of the season. You know, Riley eventually was going to take advantage of all these opportunities coming his way. I still think long term he winds up Dallas Cowboys head coach. I'll stand by that until he retires from coaching.
But hold on. Does he win a national championship in college before going to the pros?
I'll say yes, I think it's going to be a while. I think he's a good coach. I don't necessarily think he's. I think if Ryan Day was in Oklahoma, like that team would look the same. Yeah. So and Ryan Day is probably going to be in this situation. If he has another offensive year like he just had after the last two, you know, if he does it 4 years in a row, he's going to be in the same situation. But Riley went, you know, with Oklahoma going to the SEC, it changes recruiting and it changes the competition so much. There's no way that didn't factor into it. He's not just going to run through the Big 12 anymore. I mean, that is a big difference. It's pretty wild. I would love to see him coach Saturday just because I think it's awesome. And apparently, you know, this is unprecedented, you know, with him leaving, and it's kind of like free agency and, you know, football now. It is kind of crazy. I think he's probably going to do what Urban Meyer did when he took over Ohio State. Urban Meyer was hired before the bowl game that year, but he sat up and he's like, I'll be here, but this is Luke's team. I'm going to let him finish this out. You know, I'm not going to step into the middle of this. I'll take over tomorrow morning. And he did. I think Riley will probably do the same thing. I would say he'll be there. I would say he'll be at the game, which is still pretty crazy. Probably in the booth, probably doing some interviews and things like that. But it's still an amazing story to have Kelly and Rob. It's crazy to have these big name successful coaches moving in a week like this to giant programs. It's really something unique that in college football.
I mean, the times have changed. There was a day. There was a time. If you're at Oklahoma, if you're at USC, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, if you're at one of these top programs, you ain't going nowhere. I mean, you don't even have to win a national championship to have to be have a solid base, solid foundation there at the school. Times have changed. You know what else also I think may need to be changed, or maybe the problem that you and I are going to talk about with this Ohio State defense, we would love to see some change. Jeff, I don't know what the problem is with the defense. I know there's problems on defense, problems on offense, problems with the coaching staff. I mean, there's problems at all three levels. Special teams may be the best. Not best, but they may have the least amount of problems. Also, have the least amount of players. So it kind of goes hand in hand with that.
No doubt.
But, Jeff, I got three things here with you. I talked to you about these earlier. Is Ohio State's biggest problem on defense a personnel problem, a coaching problem, or a player development problem? So now you can see one of the – I know you might think, well, personnel problem might be recruiting. It could be. But it's all the way you interpret them. The biggest problem that Ohio State's defense has is a personnel problem, a coaching problem, or a player development problem.
So one leads to the other. I'll say coaching, and I'm not, and I'm not this guy. Like I want people to know that I look farther into this than just being like pick the coach and say get out. But when I say coaching, I'm not talking about. I don't care who the coach is because I'm not there to see individual drills. You know, I've listened to the podcast recently, and they talking about the 2014 national championship, and they were talking about the details and obsessed with hand placement, hand movement, and, yes, and basically making it repetitive. And we've talked about this with Brian Hartline. When you watch his receivers, they're technicians. It's they don't even think about what they're doing, mm-hmm, you know, and they mm-hmm do the right things. And the defensive line, the linebackers used to be like that, but we're just not seeing it now. So I'll say it's a coaching thing. I don't know. I don't know how their drills are set up. I don't know how the focus is set up. You know, I'm assuming the players can be coached. Ohio State typically doesn't get kids who can't be coached. I mean, they're all great players from wherever they're at, but there's something missing. Even, you know, I was hard on, you know, Pete Werner the last few years, but in Tough Borland and those guys, but I always said this about them. They were doing their job correctly. They just didn't have the physical skills to keep up with the great teams. I said that about Tough Borland a million times. The Alabama game, the famous play when he gets smoked by Smith, he did everything right. He's just not as fast as him.
That wasn't his fault. That was the coaching.
This year, we didn't see that. You know, we didn't see like lack of skill. We saw a lack of knowing where to be and move, and just the sly things that you see, like, you know, shedding blocks and wrong arming and all those things. Like we didn't see any of that, especially out of the linebacker position. The defensive backs, you know, Burke had, you know, looked really good. I don't know how much of that he brought from high school, so I can't judge him on his development yet. You know, Seven Banks didn't get any better. We saw it last year. With the players too, with a lot of complaints about the guys didn't get any better. So it's a coaching issue, and I don't know what level it is. Maybe it's all levels on the defense, but I think it'd be silly to ignore it. Let's put it that way, and just be like, oh, they're young or whatever. Like, no, like defensive line didn't get better. Like, it's just the technique, the physicality, just it's the little things, and none of us are. I mean, whether it's a you know, our guys are never like trying to punch a ball out. They're never harassing. Mm-hmm. You know, when they tackle a guy, it's not violent. There's just so many things. And then, like, you watch the Michigan game, for instance, as soon as they hit the guy, they're rolling, you know, the rugby style tackling, which Ohio State did that so well for years. And then now that's backed off. So now the tackling's more of like just ride a guy to the ground kind of thing. You know, those things really jump out at you as far as, you know, what are you really doing in practice? That concerns me more than anything. But the good news is that can also be fixed within a few months. It really can with young people. So I'm optimistic about that.
I'm right there with you. I when I tipped this to you, I had no idea where I was going to go. I do know there's a personnel problem. I also know there is a player development problem. All of that, to me, Jeff, goes right back to the coaching. Now, mm-hmm, I'm not simply saying I'm pointing the finger at Ryan Day. Even though when it comes to the coaching problem, he has to answer for all of the coaches on the team. I think it goes offensively and defensively. You said it so well. The only guys that are really like technicians on the field are the wide receivers, which is why I believe on Saturday against Michigan, they're making all of these amazing catches because they're doing things pre-snap, at the snap of the ball, 5 yards in, when they're cutting, whatever part of the route they're in. They're constantly in their head and physically with their body doing things to get 1, 2, 3 steps ahead of their defender, even if homeboy's right on his hip. Garrett Wilson knows, I know I had this move at the last second. He's not going to expect it. Go up and grab the ball. I do think there's a coaching problem. I'm not saying that you need to wipe out everybody, including the head coach, Ryan Day. I'm not saying you need to wipe out everybody on one side of the ball, offensively or defensively. Sometimes you just need come to Jesus type meetings. That's simply it. Mm-hmm. Some guys, you can have those type of sit down meetings, get a little animated. They may use some 4-letter words. Just have those type of meetings to where it's a gut check. Like, look, bro, this ain't working. I know I've only been a head coach for 3 years. I'm learning this as we go, but we both know that ain't working. Yeah. Something needs to change. I mentioned earlier, I'm not calling for anything to say coaches need to be fired or coaching changes. I'm not doing that. All I'm saying is there's a coaching problem at Ohio State. there's two things that stuck out to me, Jeff. There's a guy that listened to the podcast, don't know his name off the top of my head. Please forgive me. He'll tweet at me during games quite a bit. Ohio State, I did this at the game one or game two. I was like, Ohio State doesn't have any dogs on defense or dogs on offense. And Denzel Burke, that was probably first half of the season, he tweeted at me, said, Denzel Burke is a dog. Not word for word, but it was kind of saying Burke is a dog on the field. Great. But when it comes to linebackers, when it comes to defensive linemen, when it comes to offensive linemen, can you definitively say so-and-so is a dog on the field? Y'all want to say Steel Chambers. I have seen Steel Chambers make fundamental errors consistently for a while, mentally. If he's not flying to the ball, homeboy is 2 or 3 seconds behind. And
yes, great.
Haskins, Corum are running right by him. Granny has to play linebacker for a very long time. We raved about it, but he knows what he's doing. He's a running back. A lot of these things are instincts for him. I do think there's a coaching problem at Ohio State. DBs, linebackers. Zay Johnson gets exempt from this because he does his thing. And I'm going to give exempt for Tony Alford because he can't do it. His guys can't do anything. If the offensive line is not blocking properly, and if the receiver, there's a coaching problem at Ohio State. That's one thing. And you say it could change in a few months. Bro, that could change before the bowl game. Well, and I'm not saying, boy, the guy's going to get fired. I'm saying fundamentally in your mind, things can change now. Oh, Jeff, I'm not done. Sorry, this is a lot on my mind right now.
No, let's have it, man.
There's a problem with me when I look at Ohio State's availability list every single week. Ryan Day does a very good job having a tight ship and not letting things get out throughout the week, leaks, injuries, things like that. You get about 2 hours, hour and a half before kickoff. You find out who's going to be on the field, who will not be on the field. To me, it's very concerning. When we have key players every week that aren't healthy, I'm not just talking about a virus, flu, COVID, whatever. I'm not talking about that. They're not healthy, injuries, so they're not playing. I wonder what they're doing there because as you talk about the 2014 team, I've heard Tyvus Powell. I've heard Bobby Carpenter. I've heard Cardell Jones. I listen to Letterman Row, the show they do on YouTube and before the game on Thursday nights. These former players talk about the toughness in their workouts. Puking after running. For some odd reason, I don't know what these guys are doing. Your off-season workout time and your preparation and your strength and conditioning, your eating right, putting the right fluids in your body. I remember Ryan, they used to test the urine of players, bro. Urban Meyer was testing the urine of players. Very detailed. There's a problem with the coaching. And the strength and conditioning program and Mickey Mariotti is not exempt from this. I'm calling out coaches, not saying guys need to get fired. Have a conversation in your head and revamp things because something's not working. It will affect yourself on the recruiting trail. It'll affect you on the field. And nobody knows who Ohio State's playing week number one or who the coach will be for Notre Dame week number one against Ohio State. Do you want it to be Luke Fickell? You know what kind of defense he's been running. Those boys essentially are good. If he goes to Notre Dame in South Bend, I don't even know where the game is. And if he comes there and it's a first week one loss, We Jeff and I might go back to this conversation November 30th, 2021, 8:31 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and talk about how strength and conditioning, it starts in the offseason. If that ain't right in the offseason, bro, yep. Ohio State has problems.
Yeah, 100%. That's what I saw all year. By the time we got to the week 12, week 13, I didn't see the improvement. Here's what bothered me. I didn't see enough of our guys that looked like they should have played for the other team. Maybe – I don't know. I don't know if any of our defensive starters, maybe probably Burke, play for Michigan Saturday. And I don't know when the last time I could say that is as far as, could have started for that team. And it's concerning. Again, I understand, how good they can be, but it's got to be coached into them. It's got to be focused. It's got to be driven. It's there's a lot of question marks, and I don't think it's silly to ask them.
No, they're not. We're out of time. Jeff and I could go on for a very, very, very long time. You might pick up this conversation sometime in the future as regards to the defense and things that are a problem. Maybe solutions, Jeff, problem solving. You have kids. I don't, but we all have to problem solve in our life. We may have to do that here on the show. Jeff Hunt, my guy, Tuesday evening. Let everyone know where they can catch you on Twitter and then where they can catch your show, Buckeye Remix, the Off the Ball Network, all the good stuff you're doing.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jay. Yeah, you can catch me on Twitter at jhunt006. You can find me at offtheballnetwork.com. I do a podcast called Jeff Needs Sports. You can find that anywhere you listen to your podcast. It's got, you know, we're getting close to the off season, so it's good. We get, you know, a lot of different topics and subjects and stuff coming up, so it's a lot of fun. Once again, appreciate Locked On Buckeyes and Jay for having me on.
Always, guys. And tomorrow, this may be another Off the Ball week, Off the Ball Network week. Our guy, your guy, Mo Murphy, the plan is for him to be on the show tomorrow talking about the offense. Now the offense is not exempt. They have issues there as well. But I do believe that Mo will bring the energy, bring the heat, and talk about the Buckeyes that he loves. You can follow me on Twitter. I'll shut up. At JSteven07. The voice starts to come through as we're going. Starts to loosen up a little bit. We'll see how things go tomorrow. Make sure you're tuned in to Locked On Buckeyes every single day of the week. And you make sure Locked On Buckeyes is your first listen of every single day. That's Jeff Hunt from the Off the Ball Network. I am Jay Stevens. Guys, we're out.